Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
I want to thank you for coming here today, and of course it's so great to have Holly here with us. We've had a great time with her. She's only here for one night, but we'll take what we can get. And but otherwise, it's great to have some other guests with us. Filipino brother and sister there, from originally from Manila. So great to have them in the house. Why don't we welcome them, and some others who are coming back for the second time. So it's so good. Well, if you missed last Sunday was Vision Sunday, and we talked about our theme for 2021. And it's a theme that I felt the Lord speak to me about all the way back in May this year. So we announced last Sunday that our theme for 2021 is called The Table. And I want to welcome you to the table. Look at this table right here. And I just plan in the future, just having an element in service where we have some table talk, right? Just interviewing different people and things like that. But the other interesting thing is this. So I received a package from Compassion International. And this package was just a beautiful devotional series for the month of January in 2021. And so each day had a different subject, right? Each day had its own subject. And so what do you think the subject for January 1, 2021 was? Who would like to have a shot in the dark right now? The table. Yeah, why don't we get it up there? So isn't that cool? Day one, the table. Isn't it cool? I thought it was fantastic. I said, Trine, take a look at this. You know, God is really speaking to us, and surely He has already prepared a table before us, for us to come. The good news about the table is that everyone's invited. So if you're visiting with us for the first time today, and perhaps you know, maybe something about God or nothing about God, it doesn't matter. You too are welcome to the table. The invitations have gone out over 2,000 years ago, and God wants you to know that you're invited. Isn't that good news? I'm so glad. I like to be invited. Do you? Why don't we give the Lord another hand of thanks, because He has invited everyone. Well, Christmas, it's almost here. And you know, the season of Christmas, it can be a real magnifier. Have you ever found that? It can really magnify and highlight, just different things. It can make the good in life seem really good, and it can also make the difficult far more challenging than we care to think about. And I know that 2020 has been a year where many people have been faced with various challenges, even disappointments from cancelled holidays, limited time with family, perhaps job loss, or even the loss of a loved one. And so Christmas has a way of magnifying what we have, or perhaps what we don't have. Maybe today you are single and you don't have a special someone. It could be you're probably here or online. I just want to say to you, don't worry. Don't worry. In actual fact, one of the things that God has put on my heart as we go into 2021 is to actually have an afternoon with all of our single people, for anyone who wants to come, and just have a conversation where we just have some Q&A and talk about, you know, relationships and things like that. But you know, again, Christmas has a way of magnifying, you know, what we have or don't have. And if perhaps someone here is feeling a little bit down, then I want to encourage you to recall to mind the words of King David when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." You know, if we're going to magnify something, we may as well magnify the good. Something, you know, transactional, something transitional, transformational takes place when we lift up the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible also says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But no matter what kind of year you've had, there is good news, peace, and hope beyond every circumstance. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" I just want someone here to know that hope is born, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men.'" Today, I want to share with you one of the greatest stories of hope in the history of the world. And it's the story when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So it's a little bit, perhaps in some ways, unusual to be talking about resurrection at Christmas. But we've got to remember that even though this is the season, right, that Jesus has come, the reason why he came was to die for our sins. And we must always keep the two before us. And so, you know, this is the, again, the story when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And in this story, Jesus doesn't wait for his own resurrection from the dead to prove who he said he was, because in this story, Jesus also demonstrates that he also brings resurrection life in the midst of our everyday circumstances. That's good news. Doesn't matter what we're going through, he also brings resurrection life in our current everyday circumstances. And the fact that Jesus says that a four-day dead Lazarus will rise again. Did you hear what I just said? This is what this story is all about. The fact that Jesus says that a four-day dead Lazarus will rise again reveals to us that no matter how much trouble we find ourselves in, when Jesus is present, we too can rise again. That's good news. And I just get the sense that, you know, there are so many people who are actually probably a little bit emotionally, perhaps mentally, perhaps physically tired at this time of year. But God wants you to know that if he got a four-day dead Lazarus up, he's gonna get you up as well. That's good news. Even if you're feeling great, perhaps you're not feeling, you know, all that tired. Perhaps you're feeling quite, you know, energetic and whatever else. The good news is, even in that circumstance, you can go to a new level. I think it just gives us great comfort. If God can get a four-day, now you can't get like, you know, that's not a four-day dead Lazarus, right? It's not a good start. Like, there's just no hope for that guy. But there was hope, and there's hope for you and I as well. And you're going to see why at the end of my message today. And so the Bible talks about the shadow of death, okay? And in Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, King David writes, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Okay? "Though I walk through the shadows even of the valley of death, I will fear no evil." Again, if you were here last Sunday, you would have seen that you would have heard that our key passage for 2021 is actually Psalm 23, verse 5. So on one hand, we have this verse in verse 4, and then the very next verse, we see David saying, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." What a great testimony. David is saying on one hand, hey, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Like, that is a deep, dark, and despairing place. That is kind of like rock bottom. You can't get really any more rock bottom than that. The shadow of death, it's a deep valley. It's, you know, you don't know which way to go. But in his next statement, "But you're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup will overflow even in the deepest, the darkest, and the most despairing of valleys." Doesn't matter how deep and dark and despairing, depressive things get, even then you can be above and your cup can overflow. You see, God doesn't want to give you just enough oil, just enough power, enough blessing, and enough anointing just for you. And can I just encourage someone out there today, online and on site, don't just come to the table just to get enough for you. Don't come to the table just to have your fill, but may you come to the table and may you extend your cup to the everlasting wellspring of life and say, Lord, don't just fill up my cup, but fill up my cup to overflowing so that there might be an overflow to my spouse, to my family, to my business, to my community, to my neighborhood, wherever I am. Can you see the heart of God today? He so wants to fill you, Leanne, to overflowing. He so wants to do a great and a mighty thing in and through you, Josiah, where you're overflowing. So Psalm 23 verse 4, it's not just referring to the reality of human mortality, but there are other forms of death that can literally surround us in the valley, which can become so overshadowing that they tower over us. And just as all objects cast shadows, our past disappointments, feelings of failure, and perhaps not feeling like you fit in can also have a way of casting a shadow over our mind, over our soul, even over our future. Death is defined as the destruction of or permanent end of something. But just because there might have been a death to something in your life, it doesn't mean that it's the end for you or of your life. It's just another new beginning. When it all seems like it's the end, that's when Jesus begins. And today, I want to share very quickly with you three keys to rise again from the story found in Luke chapter 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. How are my Lebanese sisters here today? Good? You look lovely. It's so good to have you. Have you met my daughter Holly yet? You'll have to meet her, one Lebanese sister to another Lebanese sister. You'll have to all meet and get together, have some hummus or something. So, yeah, get the hummus. Wait, yeah, have some hummus. Hey, if you've got some now, have some hummus right now if you want. Okay, I better get back to my message, hey. All right. So three keys today to rise again. Point number one, roll the stone aside. Luke chapter 11, verse 38 says, But as Jesus arrived at the tomb, hear this, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. So there was a cave, right? And a stone was rolled across its entrance. Jesus told them to roll the stone aside, but Martha protested and said, But Lord, he has been dead 4 days, as if Jesus didn't know. Think about the qualities of a stone this size rolled across this cave. It was a large, heavy, cold, and dividing wall which became a barrier. But Jesus turns up and he asks for the stone to be rolled away. Why? Because what came between death and life was a barrier, and a stone can represent those areas which come between us and Jesus, metaphorically speaking. Roll the stone aside. It's really interesting to note that Jesus asked the disciples to roll the stone aside. Jesus didn't roll the stone aside himself. Why is that? Because Jesus will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. And that's the point. Jesus will only do for us what we cannot do. But he'll never do for us what we can do ourselves. So could it be that one of the reasons why we don't always get answered prayer is because we haven't done what we ought to have done? And so it's our role, excuse the dad pun, it's our role to roll away the stone. So what does that look like? It was almost like a token laugh. Ha ha. It was good. I love it. So what does that look like? Well, I believe that first of all, we need to be honest about the fact that there is a stone and that a stone even exists. Otherwise, how will you ever be able to roll it away? So rolling stones away are very much our responsibility. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, those who have gone before us, who are sitting in eternity right now, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. Number two today, another key to rising is respond to Jesus' call. You know, the call of God is so important, and God is calling, and every single one of us, and I just wonder, are we accepting or declining the call? In John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." You know, when Jesus asked the disciples to roll the stone away, you know, there were the murmurings of many voices. Because what the crowd saw and what Jesus saw were two different things. The crowd saw death. The crowd saw a four-day dead Lazarus with the stench of death already in the air. And so there were the many voices and the murmurings of unbelief and having no faith. But in amongst all those voices is the voice of God. The crowd saw death, but Jesus saw life and hope. And one voice stood out among the rest. And there's only one voice that you need to hear, heed this day. And that's the voice of Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. There are many voices right now, even competing for your attention. When you're at home and you want to press into God in prayer, there'll come a distant voice from the kitchen. Could be from the pantry, the fridge, saying, "Come, come, it is time to eat." It's like, where did that voice come from? I'm just pressing into God in prayer right now. But all different kinds of things. Check your phone. Check your social media. Check your status update. You know, there can be all kinds of different voices. But there's only one voice that you need to heed. There's only one voice that you need to lay hold of. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Hey, listen, don't be surprised to experience and encounter many voices. Just make sure you choose which one you're going to follow. And you can say to yourself, hey, I could follow that voice. I could go down that track. I could, you know, do whatever. But I'm going to hold on to God's word. You see, we all want to be free. Do you want to be free? We all want to be free. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you see, that's the promise of the condition. And the condition is, Jesus said a verse before that, he said, "You are my disciples indeed if you hold on to my word." Okay? That's when you know that you're a disciple. And then he said, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Number three today, my last point. Number three, and this really has a lot to do with our theme for 2021. And it's very, very fitting. Number three, recline and dine. Recline and dine. And so, of course, point number one was roll the stone away. Why? So that Lazarus could come out, remove the dividing wall, the things that come between. Like, just ask yourself, just have a good look in the mirror and say, what's coming between me and my walk with Jesus? Because at the end of the day, that is the most important relationship in my life. I know that my spouse and my children and my parents and my family and everything like that, it's really important. And the Word of God has a lot to say about that. But at the end of the day, there's only one person that you and I are going to stand before, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, how does that make you feel? You know, your loved one is not going to be sitting next to you as in like watching a movie. It is just going to be you and I standing before the Lord. And the Bible says that books will be open and there will be angels standing behind a table with books open. And the Bible says that whoever's name is not found in the book of life will be cast into outer darkness. But they whose name is found in the book of life will rejoice with the Lord forever. And that decision, that choice is up to you and I. And so our relationship with Jesus is paramount. You know, the Bible says that his name, the name of Jesus, is far above every other name that is named on the planet. It's not a little bit above. It's not like marginally above. It is far above. It is an incomparable name. There is no name greater. You know, the thing that really separates, well, it's one of the great things that separates what we believe when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus compared to any other faith around the world, is the fact that our God, He came, He left His place of eternity. The Creator of all things left eternity, came in the likeness of sinful man, lived perfectly according to the Ten Commandments, died a criminal's death, even though He was pure and innocent, and was raised from the dead. That's what separates what we believe from every other belief on the planet. Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the dead like He said He would, Paul said our faith would be worthless. It would be like any other faith on the planet. But our God did rise from the dead, and His Spirit is here right now. And in a few moments' time, I'm going to give someone the opportunity to respond to this resurrected Christ. And I'm also going to pray for you that you would personally encounter Him. And so it's the most important relationship that you and I can have. And then, of course, point number two, respond to His call. He's calling you. Why? Because He loves you. You might think that you've made the choice to be here today or to be online, but God chose and gave you an opportunity to hear the gospel. So again, point number three, recline and dine. This story is about the resurrection of a four-day dead Lazarus. Just think about it for a moment. He's dead 4 days. He's bound up. His face is wrapped up. He is like wrapped up like a mummy and put in a deep tomb. And that's the end of his life. Would you say that that's kind of the end? If you were someone who was there, present, carrying this mummified body and laying him in a deep tomb, you would walk out of that tomb and say, well, he lived a good life. You would say, well, that's the end of that. It was actually the beginning. And I don't know if you've seen what I'm about to read out to you right now, but let me just tell you what happens next. And so Lazarus is resurrected, and we pick it up now in John chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. So this is one chapter later. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. Don't you think that's just one of the most amazing stories of hope that you could ever hear? Lazarus went from dying outside of Christ to dining in with Christ. Jesus not only raised him to life, but He raised Lazarus to live. Jesus is also inviting you and I to come to His table, to recline and dine. And a table, it represents so many things. The next time you're at a cafe or a restaurant, just pause for a moment. Take a look around the place and you'll see a common theme between people, and it's a table that brings people together. It brings people seated for community, conversation, and connection. So today, I don't know what's bound you up, but it's time to, number one, roll that thing away. Get rid of it, delete it, throw it out, do whatever you got to do. I tell you what, my wife and I, we love to just get rid of stuff. We'll either sell it, give it away, whatever, throw it out. And it's just one of the best feelings. I encourage you to do it. Go through your wardrobe, your shoes, whatever, 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 and give it away. Donate it or get rid of it. So number one, roll the stone away. Number two, always respond to Jesus' voice. If you've got lots of people, maybe for the single people right now, let me just say, if you've got lots of little kind of offers going on, you get like a random message via Facebook or whatever, perhaps you're on a certain app and you get, I don't know, because people are out there just on certain things, and you're getting invitations to this and to that and whatever. Can I just encourage you to filter it through the Word? And say, God, what do you think about that invitation? What do you think about, you know, little Mr. Smooth so-and-so, or sassy whoever, I don't know, sweet little thing, I don't know. So what do you think about this invitation? Like, Father, how do you feel about it? One of the most beautiful things that I've had, both my wife and I with our daughters, if that there were boys interested in our girls, that would be very transparent about it. And so just filter it through the Word of God and say, God, what do you think about this? And God would be like, just leave it with me and keep on following me and serving me. And if they're worth your hand in the future, they too will, number one, follow me. And together you can join hands and hearts in following me. Do you know what I'm saying? And but Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, it says, Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and dine with that person and they with me. I just want to invite you to stand today. As we begin to close, I want to give someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus, and which is the greatest of all, the greatest of all. I had this little opportunity to share with someone yesterday. I was at Cafe Barella's, which is not uncommon. Shout out to Cafe Barella's, best cafe around. And I just love the staff there. And so I had to go outside to get something from my car, then go back in. As I was going outside, this guy with his wife, they were just standing outside and just having a ciggy, you know, just having a ciggy together. And he yells out to me and he goes, do you live here or something? And it was just pretty funny. Like, I've never seen this guy before. We've never spoken. We've never met. And so I turned around. I did stop, you know, going toward the car. I turned around and I just laughed. And I said, yeah, look, I know why, you know, you could say something like that. And I said, in actual fact, I live in East Aubrey and I love coming here. It's a great, you know, vibe and whatever else. I said, my name's Jason. So I introduced myself. We met. I said, what do you do? How come you're here? Obviously, you see me a fair bit. You know, obviously, you must come here a fair bit as well. And he said he's from Myrtleford, and so he comes in for supplies at the PIDs, you know, getting sand and rock and bark and that kind of thing. And so I asked him, you know, we're just exchanging some small talk, but, you know, I hope you don't mind me sharing this part of the story. But he's like, F this and F that, and just dropping an F-bomb everywhere, like, how often do you beep, come here, you know, whatever. And he's just going on and on and on. It was just like a part of his everyday language, right? And so we're just talking, and I'm just chatting with him, and he's like, and so what do you do? And I said, guess. I'll give you three guesses. I'll give you three guesses. He goes, he's looking at me. He goes, I don't know what. And I said, so I'm the pastor of Gateway Life Church in Lavington, and you know, yada, yada, yada. And with that learning, gaining that knowledge, he put his head down and swore again. He says, like, oh. But a less, like, in his mind, a less expletive type word, if you know what I'm saying, but nevertheless, a swear word. And so what was my response? I laughed. I just laughed. You might think, why did you laugh? What's so funny about him swearing and things like that? Well, the thing is this, I don't even take notice of that. That's not my focus. My focus is his heart. And I can see that he actually has a really good heart. But for some reason along his journey, he's had various influences that have led him astray. But that's, but God loves him. And I had this love for him. And so he started to tell me how he likes to get his telescope and look into the sky and at various planets and the stars. And I said, that's amazing. This is after we've introduced now. He's telling me what his hobby. And I said, that's amazing. I said, the Bible is full of, just passages referencing creation and the stars and things like that. So we're talking about that. I said, in actual fact, since you have an interest in the stars, I want to encourage you to Google the Christmas star of 2020. He goes, what's that? I said, well, the Christmas star of 2020 has not appeared for over 800 years. And the Christmas star of 2020 is actually an alignment of planets the planet Jupiter and the planet Saturn. And they are about to align. I believe it's on December 21, which I think is the darkest day of the year. I've been told that on the darkest day of the year, the Christmas star of 2020 is going to be visible to everybody on the planet. Pending, there's no cloud, as it were, just inhibiting your view. What great hope in a year where there's been so much darkness, so much depression and despair. Right there on December 21 at Christmas, the Christmas star. And many are saying that it's what the shepherds, the Magi, which are known as the shepherds or the Magi, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but either way, scones. And the beautiful thing about the Christmas star is that it points to Jesus. You see, the shepherds, they followed the star. Number one, they looked up. In order to follow the star, you got to look up. This is known as the Star of David. There's a reason why. In actual fact, I will admit, I did not know why I chose a star. And I only learnt of the star, the Christmas star of 2020, just a few days ago. But I didn't know why, but there it is. And you see, God speaks to us in signs and wonders and just through all kinds of things. And so we got to look up. Perhaps you've been looking down for some time. Just you've been about your own business. You're just about what you want to do, how you look, how you sound, how you feel, what you think. What about just looking up again and saying, God, how do you feel? What are you thinking? What are you saying? And what can I do to come all the more in alignment with you? Like the planets are about to align. You see, Jupiter and Saturn are about to align to the point that it looks like they're saying it'll look like one star, which will cause so much light to emanate. And Adrian Povey, where are you? Where's Adrian Povey? He'd be busy because he was here earlier. He's a photographer. I want to get him to actually shoot. He likes to shoot the moon. And I pray that he'll shoot for the moon. But look up and then follow the light, because the light led the shepherds to Jesus, to the coming of Jesus. Could it be that the Star of David, the Christmas star of 2020, is just another sign for the second coming of Jesus? I'd like to say amen. So wherever you're at today, if you feel like you need to look up again, if you feel like you need to come to the table again, perhaps you've never come to the table, perhaps you didn't even know there was a table, Jesus is saying, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. How do you know that God is knocking at your door right now? Well, you'd be feeling just in your heart, you'd just be feeling something kind of kicking around in there. You don't know what it is, but even perhaps right now your heart is beating really fast. Can I just say the Spirit of God is moving in and on your heart from the youngest to the oldest, even those watching this replay all over the world. God is speaking to you. It's like the gentle knock. You see, he's not aggressive. It's just like you'll just know. And you just know. I just knew. Back on June 18, 1989, I just heard this. It's like, God, is that you? It's me. I love you. And anyone who opens up the door, any nation, tribe, background, doesn't matter. Anyone who opens up the door, I'm going to come in with you. I'll come in, we'll sit down, we'll fellowship, we'll dine, we'll recline. I love you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get, more importantly, to get to know me. And the more you get to know me, the more I'll tell you about who you really are. The more you discover about him, the more you discover about yourself. And things have a way of dropping off you that you felt that were important, things that you feel you need for your identity. You no longer need those facades, those masks, and you can just stand before the Lord, and because you just know who you are. Without further ado, I want to invite you to pray a prayer after me. It's a prayer that says, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I come to you this day. You're my Lord, you're my Savior. If that's you and you want your sins forgiven, if you want a cleansing on the inside, then you need to pray this prayer after me. I'll pray a line, then I'll get you to pray after me. Are you ready for that? Here's the encounter. Here comes the encounter. Here comes the Spirit of God all over you in Jesus' name. Pray after me. Dear Father in heaven, I humble myself this day and I make it about you. It's not about me. It's about you. I humbly ask that you would forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me on the inside and fill me with your Holy Spirit again. Help me to be now the person you have created me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for everyone who prayed that prayer, and I know that so many have. And I just believe that a transformation has taken place. May they nurture what you have done in their heart right here, right now. May they protect it. May they, Lord God, go from this place, and I thank you that you will grace them and give them the strength to roll away every stone, every dividing barrier. I thank you, Lord, that above all else, they will heed your voice and follow you. And I pray, Lord God, that they would enjoy sweet fellowship as they recline and dine with you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.